temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfilment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Wakey, wakey, rise and shine. Good afternoon. This is Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk, and you are tuned in this afternoon all about sleep. So we've had a good rest, we've had a little power nap, and you're now tuned in to myself, Angela Briar Stevenson. So welcome, good afternoon. And of course, without possibly could I do this show with my marvellous friends and co-presenters, Jan Mulligan. Good afternoon. Wakey,
good afternoon.
Wakey.
I am awake.
You look like you've had a nice rested afternoon.
I am rested. To wake myself up a bit.
And breathe. And over to Sue. We missed you last week, Sue. So Sue Parker, hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I missed you too.
Yes. So our thoughts were with you last week. So but we did miss you, and hopefully you were proud of our insightful insights last week.
We had a double whammy last week.
So yes, good afternoon, listeners. You are tuned in to Who Cares Wins Radio. All avenues, all topics regarding health and well-being, motivation, lifestyle, confidence, holistic therapies, and more. And of course, don't forget, we also like to hear from you on the tweet or the Twitter land. So if you're listening in and you want to tweet us, maybe you have some hints and tips around how you are able to drop off to sleep at night, or if you have, sometimes I know, especially for me this week, it's been a bit busy, a bit hectic, and my brain sometimes won't always shut down, so I need to have some tactics to get back to sleep if I do wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So if you have anything, do tweet us at CaresWins, and we can pick them up. We can give you a shout out for your business, we can give you a shout out for your hints and tips, your success stories, etc. So sleep.
The chance to dream.
And of course, last week we had that song that finished us all off, really, at the end of our show with the lovely Michael Bublé. Oh, I was all of a difference. And of course, he was talking about dream, and of course, dreaming to help you when things are down, or you're sometimes too stressed and caught up with the world of tasks and to-do lists, which often can have an effect on our sleep, can't it? It can actually do have that interruptedness. But of course, why should we sleep? You know, a lot of people say, to sleep, it's a waste of time. I don't need to sleep. In fact, I did somebody, like a Wheel of Life, and I did with a client that had to divide their time up into various portions of the pie. And I asked them to think about the categories of life and how much time is spent working, commuting,
a week, or
with their house. It was up to them whether they chose over just generally life. If I took a snapshot of my life, mm-hmm, and divided out my categories of housework, social, friends, family, husband, wife, partner, etc. And interestingly, one of the people feedback was, I forgot about my husband. I haven't got enough portions of the pie left. But I had one feedback. One somebody said to me, this chunk I've put for sleep, I'm not happy with it. It's too big. I want to make it smaller. It's a waste of time. No. But of course, we know it isn't. And I'm sure, listener, you know out there too, that actually we do need the sleep. We do need to let that brain. And the way I describe it is, as you know, listener, I do have my own way with words. But the way I describe it is, when you go to sleep, you need that wonderful time where your body goes into complete downtime. It's a bit like shutting down the PC, turning your mobile phone off. Most people say, didn't know you could do that. But you turn the phone off, you physically shut it down. And that's when your brain then starts to put things into the filing cabinets. So it's when my secretary comes into my brain at night and files things away and starts tidying up the office, putting all the papers in the folders, putting all the files away in the cabinets. Jan's yawning already. So it is about organising and actually making sense of everything that's gone on in your day, and actually putting it into some sort of sense. And some of the information that you've had come at you during the day, actually, I don't need to file that. I don't need to keep that. That's irrelevant. It's not something I need to remember. So that gets trashed. That's in the delete can. But of course, it's also those that exercise. You'll also know that that's when our body repairs, restores, and actually, if the muscles, if we've been down to the gym, if I'm doing my Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions, oh, that's another moment there. Then that's when I, if I'm doing, you know, hard workout, that's when my muscles actually need that downtime to repair, to recover, to then realign, to rebuild, so that I can then get that muscle definition that I want to get my six pack that I might be after. But it is important to sleep, isn't it? You keep laughing at me, you two, but I know the listener out there is nodding away at me, knowing that sleep is good for us.
Well, it recharges your batteries, doesn't it? It's what you need to do.
It does. And we do need to recharge the batteries. How many times do we recharge an iPad or a laptop? Anything, really, that has any sort of type of battery device steady. Then you do need to recharge it. And people don't necessarily always think or take the same amount of care over our body as we do over those wonderful technology devices that we carry around with us all the time and do our backs in, and then we have to talk to people like Mike and Elizabeth Rugeasy. Hello, if you're listening to Mike and Elizabeth. So yes, it's important that we sleep, that we do make sure. I picked out something I was reading in some of my research around sleep, and one of the quotes or one of the phrases I picked out, and I can't remember the person's name, I apologise, because it's just in my head of various things I recall. And I've written it down because when you sleep, it is another way of feeding your mind.
Yep, I get that.
So you're actually feeding, you're allowing that. It's a process, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we need to sleep. We need to actually switch off. And a lot of people think it's a waste of time. A bit like relaxation. Oh, and I haven't got, you know, it's selfish. I can't do that. Well, actually, if I don't look after that body, that foundation, then actually what's going to happen with all this running around, all these meetings and all these events and all these activities, it is eventually just going to wear out.
And it's the eventually bit, it's the cumulative effect. So, I mean, we are all different. We don't all need the same amount of sleep.
Yes, I'm definitely not like you, Jan, and Jan is very happy that she's not like me.
We're not going there.
Precisely.
So some people cope quite happily on 4 hours sleep, and they might power nap during the day to compensate. Mm. Other people need 8. Some need 12. It's what's right for you, but also listening to your body, because you might have had 12 hours sleep all your life, and then suddenly, certain age, your body says, I don't need that anymore.
Mm.
But making a sudden change can be bad as well. So.
Indeed.
Isn't it just really down to quality of sleep rather than quantity?
Yeah. I know a lot of people, it's, you know, not lying in bed thinking, I must go to sleep, and so I've been in bed 10 hours, but actually, have you been to sleep for 10 hours?
Exactly.
Have you had that quality of sleep? And again, that quality of sleep is making sure that you allow the body to completely switch off and actually do what it needs to do. I know it's often where if you go into the realms of sort of the unconscious mind, the superconscious, the higher power, whatever names that you give it out there, listener, but I call it the unconscious, the subconscious. But it's actually where it starts to mull over and starts to work on things sometimes when the rest of our conscious body and our conscious mind switches off. So I know my personal experience, I've woken up sometimes in the middle of the night, which is not always useful, and we'll come back to that later. But I have often woke up in my previous life in corporate world, and I would be, oh, there's the idea, that's what I need to do, or problem solved, that's what I need to look at, or, oh, I know where that 5P is in that spreadsheet that I was trying to find when I was trying to balance the numbers. And so that's, again, evidence that my body has been working, or my mind has been working on that problem while I've been asleep, while I've gone into that deeper sleep.
It's also the time where your ego doesn't get in the way.
Yes, because the ego is very much in the conscious, isn't it?
Yes,
it's
very much
thinking
so.
About it.
Yeah.
But of course, it's similar in a way to, and again, steady with the images of me in the shower, but I apologise in advance for that. But in the shower, you're often switching off from that everyday thinking. And often when you look at a problem, when you're doing something completely different, you find that sometimes that creativity comes and, oh yes, it switches in and I suddenly have the answer. I have that, I know what to do next. I know where the answer is to be found. And again, it's that unconscious mind. So there is a difficulty, though, because I appreciate some of the listeners, well, yeah, but sometimes my greatest ideas come when I'm in the middle of the night, I wake up and I can't sleep and I can't go back to sleep. And there is that difficulty there. But I think it's important to remember we do need to think about our body clock, our own body clock. I know personally I am, to sometimes the frustration of those out there in the other world, of a morning person. And so Jan's laughing already. But I am the morning person, the Wide Awake Club. Hello, campers. And it's only 5:30. And there are other people I know that I've worked with who are at their most tuned on, switched on, full of life and energy, 2:00 in the morning. Me, I'm absolutely out for the count. And so my networking, always prefer to do early mornings, early morning breakfasts. But other people I know, oh no, couldn't see me there at 6:30 in the morning.
But that's interesting, isn't it? Because you look around the room at a networking event and you've got the animation people, and then you've got the I need my cup of coffee people, and then the others who are just staring saying, don't talk to me yet.
Yeah.
Give me another 5 minutes.
Exactly. But it's interesting how we get carried away into caffeine, that keeps us, you know, gets us awake. But my husband, bless him, is probably he goes against the grain of most models of things in life, because he can quite happily have a double espresso before he goes to bed.
Wow.
And happily sleep.
Yeah. Again, yeah. Horses for courses, we're all different.
It is. Yeah. And I think that's the key thing to remember, that even a lot of the stuff we'll talk about this afternoon, listener, is it's again our own experiences, hints and tips, as with all of our guests on the show as well. It's not something we're very passionate about, this show. It's not, this is what you must do, you must follow this, we are the police women of the world, who cares, wins police, we'll be out there to catch you if you don't follow these rules and regulations, because we're very much of the buy-in and the passion. It's the flexibility, it's horses for courses, unless you don't like horses, then it's something else, but it is following what you really know is right for you. And if you know that 4 hours kip for you, I know Maggie Thatcher, she didn't actually have that much hours of kip, and she thrived, you know, that's what she worked on.
There's another little saying, actually, that Dr. Wayne Dyer came out with, because sometimes we wake up the same time every night, and there's a reason for that. Sometimes it's where our inspiration comes in, and people can end up writing or whatever. And this beautiful saying, I'll say it, it's the early morning breeze has something to tell you. Do not go back to sleep.
So actually it's listening then as
it's
well.
It's listening too.
Because how many of us, I'm sure the three of us in this studio here, have been guilty of it, where you wake up in the middle of the night, maybe for what we think is no apparent reason.
Yeah.
But then we tend to do this whole guilt thing, or we really sort of, you know, oh, I shouldn't be awake. There's that society pressure of 2 a.m., I'm not supposed to be awake. I'm supposed to be sleeping. I should be sleeping. And there's that whole inner little dialogue that's saying, you must go to sleep, or I must be at sleep. I know there is some research out there. I'll come back to it after the break. But we do have around, it's better if you can go to bed before midnight, because you get more deeper and better sleep, don't you, than if it's after midnight. But it depends on the type of work you do, if you're on shift patterns, if you're on the other side of the world, who you're liaising with, etc., as to the benefits of it. But of course, if you have a very active job, then the same process applies in making sure you get the sleep so that the body can repair and actually be ready for the next day's activities and actions.
And we'll be talking about some hints and tips if you do find yourself wide awake at a time when you ideally want to be asleep or need to be asleep, then not to panic, some things that you can try to help you drift off again.
We're going to explore those, but I thought it'd be quite good. We went through racking our brains, listener, to look at some of the music that's out there. So enjoy this next track.
Sweet dreams are made.
Channel Radio. Well, there we are. Sweet dreams, you with Mick. So, whether we have sweet dreams or not, and talking of sweet dreams, Paul on the Twitter. Hello, Paul. Lovely to talk to you. And not Mr. Producer Paul, but Paul Brown, who we met recently again at the Faversham Tweet Up at the wonderful, may I say, new McNabb building restaurant that Hilda Marie of Catering for Kent has. So, if you haven't been to a Faversham Tweet Up, get down there next month. But anyway, Paul, we have just had hysterics with your tweet because... Just for those listeners who, if you're not following at Cares Wins, please do. But he says, do any of you dream you've eaten a giant marshmallow? Wake up and find the pillows missing. Paul, have you been peeking into my bedroom at night to see if I'm eating my pillows? Or has he been going through my rubbish and actually seeing all the
feathers and the foam bits?
Absolutely. So, yeah, we like that, Paul. Keep those coming. And any other tweets out there of any other hints and tips of things that we might dream of and perhaps then wake up with fantastic ideas, business ideas. Maybe it links into your business. Maybe you've changed direction because of something that you had through a dream. And not that we're going to go into it in great detail today, but I know that there's lots of things about dream therapies and all sorts that are linked around our sleep and our patterns and what comes up. But I know just before we enter the music break there, we were talking about waking up in the middle of the night and things that disturb us. But what's probably better to start looking at is, well, do you, and it may sound weird, but do you prepare to go to sleep? And often people, it's just like, right, busy, 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 and oh, best go to bed now. So everything gets switched off and we go to bed. But I know that we've been looking at various hot tips, and one of the things you found, Jan, is from the NHS.
Well, it's actually this printed from the NHS Choices website, but it's actually tips from the Sleep Council, which is a really useful resource. If you've not come across it before, Google the Sleep Council. They're a UK-based organisation, all things to do with sleep. And they've got 10 top tips. So number one is keep regular hours. Going to bed and getting up roughly at the same time every day will program your body to sleep better. Choose a time when you're most likely to feel sleepy. Number two is create a restful sleeping environment. And that's the colours in your room, the lighting, the environment that way. In terms
of course, feng shui.
There is that. Make sure your bed is comfortable. So this is my spot, the ergonomics of sleeping.
And a marshmallow pillow.
So that might be the quality of your sleeping arrangements. So the foam, feather, whatever fills your mattress, whatever your mattress sits on, the pillows that you use.
I just had a thought, Jan. What about if you could fill your mattress with those, you know, the packaging where it goes pop? That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Well, I know it would be fun but sleep, noisy.
But yeah. Can you just imagine every time you roll over? I'm off now.
So comfortable but noisy, I think, might be that one. Number four is exercise regularly. Moderate exercise on a regular basis, such as swimming or walking. Helps the tension. No, not in bed. Unless you've got a waterbed and it bursts.
Oh, yes.
But don't do anything too vigorous before bedtime, as that may keep you awake. So again, it's about organising your day around what you're trying to do. Number five is difficult for a lot of people. It's less caffeine. So it's trying to avoid stimulants late at night.
Yeah.
Number six is don't overindulge. Something we're all guilty of at different times of the year.
Indulge in what?
Avoid too much food or alcohol, especially late at night, as it can interrupt your sleep patterns.
And your speech.
And your speech. Done it again. Trying to get through a whole show without... Anyway, number seven, don't smoke. They say smoking is bad for sleep. Smokers can take longer to fall asleep. They wake up more frequently and they're often having more disrupted sleep.
Mm. Well, there's a whole host of things around smoking, which, of course, we don't advocate. But, you know, there's the breathing, the everything, I'm sure, that would be linked to that. So we encourage you to give it up anyway. And we know people that can help you out there if you need it.
Number eight, I think this is a really good one, is trying to relax before going to bed. So this is about preparing to go to bed.
Yeah.
And they've suggested things like having a warm bath, listening to some quiet music,
doing
gentle yoga to relax the mind and the body. Number nine, now you've both mentioned this, this is waking up in the middle of the night possibly, but it's writing your worries away. So keeping a pad and pen by your bedside to write your worries away at the end of the day to clear the decks for that day, ready for the next one.
Yeah.
But that also helps if you wake up in the middle of the night and you have had that inspirational thought, then jot it down.
Absolutely. It's something I work with clients a lot on, encourage, and I know Sue, we often share sort of hint stories about. But journaling is just, there's so many benefits to it. It's the therapeutic side. It's releasing your emotions, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's letting go of everything so that you're not taking it with you when you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I always encourage, even my corporate world would encourage people around even just time management and creativity. It covers lots of different topics that if you can actually just have a little notepad by your bed. I would encourage you not having a flip chart stand. That's a bit excessive. And your blue, you know, marker pens. But that's a good idea, actually. I might just do that. Anyway, so you could have a notepad, whether it's a lined one or a drawing sketch pad, something that you can just literally, without too much effort, you could just roll over, maybe a night light, something subtle that you don't wake up the whole house, but you can jot down what that is. I wouldn't encourage you to do note-taking in iPads or no mobile phones, because of course you're turning that technology on again and then all the buzzers are going to go off. So we want something that's quick, easy, fairly quiet, can just jot those thoughts. And again, it allows you, when you go back to bed, you lay back down and it's an element of, I don't have to remember it, I've written it down, so when I do wake up in the morning, there's a comforting factor, it's there.
I also have a technique, you know, with the letting go and all of that, but also I put something positive in. So what I do is I will write in my diary and say, this, you know, tomorrow is going to be a really good day. And I don't worry about how it's going to happen, but it's a positive thing that you've already put in your head before you go to sleep.
So it's setting that intention.
It is, yes, yeah. And that helps too.
I know that it's not good to eat cheese, is it, before you go to bed?
Well, different studies again. Some say no, some say yes.
Really?
I think for every positive, you can find a negative.
Yeah.
So it's what works for you.
Or just
being aware that you know, these are 10 top tips, and we've got the last one in a minute, but some will work for you, some won't.
Absolutely.
It's trying.
Yeah, don't do all 10.
No, not all in one go, certainly. But the last one is, don't worry. If you can't sleep, don't lie there trying to sleep. Get up. Do something you find relaxing until you feel sleepy again, and then go back to bed and try again.
Is that so? That's that. Don't worry, be happy. I'm sorry, just thanks to listener. You know me by now, listener. Yeah.
Any chance to sing.
And off I go. I'm a rolling. But it is important that there's the interesting part about that is the top tips. And often, the way our brain works, without getting too technical, and I'm not going to have a biology lesson, those of you who work with NLP, with work in any type of the mind, is that we don't, our unconscious doesn't understand a negative. So it's interesting that when we are saying to people, don't worry, don't think of a stripy pink blue elephant, it's in there. And we need to ensure that what we set in the diary, as you mentioned there, is that tomorrow's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
So we set a positive intent. So rather than waking up in the middle of the night and then, oh, I remember, what was that tip? Oh, yeah, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Of course, what's going to happen is I'm going to lay there and I'm going to worry.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to worry about, oh, I'm not supposed to be worrying. And it's that whole vicious cycle, a bit touched on briefly with sophrology and Florence last week, and also within mindfulness, how our minds wander, and then we start having that lovely to-do list, that shopping list that picks up. So it is important to think about the positive intention. I've woken up. Look at the clock. It's 3 o'clock again. I don't know what 3 o'clock is, but that's an interesting one for me. If I do wake up, it's normally the same time, around about 3 o'clock. So whether there's... Although actually, yes, someone did say to me it's linked into when I was born, because I was born, depending on when you put your clocks back, it's 2 o'clock or three. See? I came into the world confusing everyone. So it could be something to do with that, I don't know. But it's always the same time. And yet, to make that intention, okay, so I've woken up. Not that, don't worry, don't be negative, don't worry, don't think about this, don't think about that, don't turn that, don't do this. It's actually look at the positive, the opposite of, so what could I do? Okay, jot that down. Some people I know do get up. So if it is literally, I feel wide awake, so take time out of the equation. And if you're able to, without disturbing the household, can you get up? Can you go and do something that's not too vigorous?
No, something relaxing. So maybe listening to music, maybe read a chapter of a book.
Jigsaw puzzles.
Something that you can pick up and put down again. So you're not thinking, oh, I've got to stay here for 2 hours because I'm now watching a film and I want to know what the end is.
Yeah.
That's no good. Something short and sweet that might just help you relax again.
What's the Matrix trilogy or something? You'd be like, oh dear, suddenly now it's morning, got to go to work. The other thing that I also encourage people to do is a little bit with, when we were talking with Florence last week, that we start to look at actually focusing in on the body itself. And so if you don't want to get up, and perhaps you know that it's something's just disturbed your sleep, maybe there was a noise that's just woken you up, then it's to work with the body and to actually work through. And I normally get my clients to work from the feet up. So literally what you do is you start to, you can visualize if you want in your mind's eye, or you can just bring your attention down to the feet and you scrunch the toes up in the bed, and then you let them go. And you notice and you feel the difference in sensation of scrunched, tense feet and relaxed feet. You work up, you do the same with your calf muscles, around the knees, the thigh muscles, around the hips. And it is interesting, most of the clients I've worked with, I say to them, so have you got on, you know, when we follow up? And they say, well, it's interesting, Angela, because I don't remember much past my hips. And then I'm awake and it's 7-8 o'clock in the morning. But it is just the process of perhaps occupying the mind with something, yet it's also looking at physically relaxing those muscles and physically, one by one, getting them to start to release, let go, and actually starting to get that body back into that slumberland and inviting it that now it's good to go to sleep. Something we were reading earlier before the show about the lights as well. There's a lot of blue light within our normal lighting, within offices, on computers, laptops, mobile phones. And I haven't gone into great depth on the research, but it's something that intrigued me with regards to, we have a lot of this blue light, which can apparently interrupt with our build-up and generation of the melatonin, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The chemicals.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a lot of the studies and a lot of the research that we've done has said that having a totally pitch black room,
yes,
is good for sleep because it encourages sleep and it encourages the production of melatonin. But we all went, oh no, we don't want that.
Definitely Sue. I was like, yeah, bring on the cave, I love it. But Sue was like, nope.
No,
it's not for you. Is that because is it a claustrophobic thing?
Yes,
or
is it?
It is. So again, there's listeners out there who would not like that at all.
No. So it is, again, it's, if it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, then what else can you do to compensate for the fact that you're not doing maybe the top tip? So what else can you do? But coming back to your thing about the lights, it's very important. You know, this 24/7 work day now, we've all got mobile phones and iPads and Kindles and laptops and all sorts of things.
We're not being paid to promote any of those, by the way.
So forget the product names. It's the items that you're working with for pleasure or for work purposes. Turn them off at the end of the day. You need peace and quiet in your bedroom. Some people go to bed listening to music. That's fine. But don't have the gadgets going. They're little blinking. If they're charging, try and charge them out in the hall or downstairs.
Yeah.
So that you don't get distracted by that atmosphere that's happening with all that gadgets. And a lot of people now have the reading tablets, so the Kindles and the Novos and whatever the product name is, rather than the paperback book. And that, again, is artificial light that your eyes are taking in before you're going to bed. They're not relaxing.
No, and the strain, isn't it, then? You're
absolutely
causing that strain.
Yeah.
So it is. And also, depending on what you're reading. Because, again, if you go back to, like, your point, Sue, about the intention of going to sleep, the worst thing I want to do is read a really complex thriller, horror, anything that's feeding. If you think about it, you're feeding your mind with that information. Or I want to watch the news and there's some horrific story on the news headline just before I go to bed. You're not feeding your mind with calming, placating thoughts that are going to aid that sleep. They're going to be, if you think about it, what you're doing is that's the last bit of pay dough you've left on the table for your secretary to come along at night and start putting away in the filing cabinet. So it's going to be on your mind, it's going to play around. So it's, we could talk for hours about it, and I always look at the clock and think, oh my god, it's the end of the show already. So let's just have a quick break, because I do want to talk about the whole element of, well, what about our beds and the mattresses, and sort of do the equipment and things, and also we talked about crystals as well, Sue,
we did.
Some of the crystals that are out there, and oils and things like that can aid some of the sleep. But do keep tweeting if you've got any hints and tips as well. Do let us know, and let's have a little music, and perhaps so we can do a little bit of dreaming.
Seem to whisper, I love you. birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be.
So, sweet dreams. Often dreams are, you know, quite good. I have lovely dreams, but sometimes they're awful nightmares. But mine definitely, I'm sure, is linked to cheese.
Ah.
So I'm obviously one of those that is with half of the research that says don't have cheese or caffeine before you go to sleep. Because I do actually, if I have too much caffeine, I actually can feel my heart, the palpitations, when I lie down.
Ah.
So it's interesting, again, how I notice that takes over. But it is interesting about the actual room, the layout of your room. And I haven't done feng shui. I'm sure there might be some listeners out there that have some hints and tips. We could maybe share those on Facebook as well. So please post them on there. But there are certain things you should place in the room, certain places. You have this somewhere. And you shouldn't have a mirror, should you, facing... Is it the door, Sue?
Can't remember which way around. Or door,
opposite
yeah.
the door. Or it reflects out.
And your bed shouldn't be facing the door.
Facing the door. So, but if
does that mean feet facing or head facing? Or
Feet facing.
Right.
Is that because it's quick escape route? Well, mine's slightly off angle, so hopefully I'm okay that I'm not completely straight in front of the door. There is a slight angle to it. But we were touching on the crystals, something that you and I spoke about, and I now sleep with a rose quartz crystal twips, a rose quartz crystal, which is under my pillow, because again, you were saying that's useful to have.
It is, because it's a very calming energy, and that's the point. It just calms everything down. It's good for your heart.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's obviously because I haven't had them. So that's interesting. I've stopped the caffeine as well.
It calms it right down. For some, you know, if they don't want it underneath their pillow, they can always hold on to it. Some people like to hold on to that energy.
Mm.
But it does calm everything down. It's just the energies that come from that crystal.
Oh. And we're going to do crystals in another show, but just to clarify that, so you've got, it's three words in there, rose, quartz, crystal.
Crystal.
Is it... Is it the three that are helping Angela sleep? Is it the fact that it's a crystal and then you've chosen rose quartz for a reason?
Mm. Well, rose quartz is actually connected to the heart and calm, right, and love, so that's why we choose that.
Okay.
Because all the different crystals are used for different things, but that one is really good. It's nice and calming.
Because it's all sorts of different crystals.
Yes.
And they are associated with either different body parts, is that right,
yes,
from my understanding?
That's right, yes.
And also they can help with different either ailments in the body. I know that, and the name escapes me of a particular crystal I got at the Mind Body Spirit show from Earls Court a couple of weeks ago. But it was supposed to, or it is, to link in with if you were having shoulder or neck problems. And I thought, yes, I'll have that, please, as I still have the issue with my frozen shoulder. Hasn't defrosted yet. So it is interesting. And also, I'm probably not really quite keen on people having oil burners or candles while they're sleeping, because I'm sure the fire brigade they're going to have words with me about encouraging my listeners to have their candles set flame to their curtains in the night. So perhaps they could have, I know we were talking about, if you do want to have, I know lavender's good, that's often quoted, isn't it, lavender for sleeping.
Yeah.
The other one was, I always call it yang-a-lang, but it's not yang-a-lang, is it?
The song Yang-a-lang-a-ding-dong. Yeah. Is that what you're trying to think of?
Shall I start singing?
No.
Them? Okay. And they are useful to have to help with the breathing and the inhalation and the relaxation. So it's useful to look at, well, how else could you get that into your bedroom environment? So it could be drops on the pillow. So you can get the old tincture. I can't speak today. It's the chair. But you were saying you have a little pouch.
Yeah, I have a little bag that's got dried lavender in it. It's next to my pillow.
And I presume you could have a pot, dried lavender,
yes,
in the pot in the actual bedroom, depending on if anyone else likes that smell.
Yeah, not everybody likes
it. It's quite an acquired.
But also the other one would be quite good is actually rose oil as well. That's a nice one too, because it's quite subtle.
Yeah. I mean, there are, I don't know where you can buy them, but I'm sure if you look up on the old lovely websites, you hang them over your radiators. So they're like humidifiers.
Mm-hmm.
Dehumidifiers or humidifiers? I'm looking at Jan, the expert now. She knows everything. But you hang them over. They've got water in. And you hang it over your radiator. So presumably at this time of year, when we don't have our radiators on because it's lovely summer out there and it's glorious sunshine and it's red hot. Yes, I know, I'm in another world there. And we wouldn't have our radiators on. But in the winter, when we have our radiators on, perhaps lower at night, because again, that's quite important, isn't it? Not to have your bedroom too hot. Because we find that, again, your body does actually heat up slightly when you go to sleep. So the worst thing you can have is a room that's too hot. I know when I go to hotels, if I stay over, they always have them set too high for me, temperatures.
The Sleep Council will recommend a slightly cool room of between 16 and 18 degrees Celsius, which is 60 to 65 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, so that is actually, when you look at the temperatures in most hotel rooms, they're 20, 21.
Yeah.
So, no wonder I'm waking up. I thought it was just me and my age. But yes, I can blame the temperature now. So you hang this, you put the water in, and you'd hang it on your radiator. So you could put drops of oil in that, and then the aroma.
So if you're putting the water into the air, that's humidifying.
That's humid. Thank you. Okay. You see, I knew.
I was waiting to get the gist of what you're saying.
You're just like, she'll get to the
point.
Okay. So yes, sleeping. But of course, if you think about the opposite, sleep deprivation, used to be used in various interviewing techniques. I never used them, honestly. Never did them in my interviews with my candidates. So you will tell me all the truths. But of course, that is the exact reason why we need that sleep, because those that were deprived are classic examples that you don't know whether it's day or night, whether you're coming or going. You then can't get that clarity in decision making. You haven't got the creativity because your mind is too trying to process the information. It's literally information overload and it just cannot cope with anymore. So again, look at the opposites and then think about the analysis of perhaps, when did you start waking up? When did you have that disturbed sleep? Is it related to a certain event in your life? at work? Are you starting to worry about work? Is it finances? Is it to do with the business and the finances of the business or the mortgage? So again, you can start to really backtrack, and that's obviously a lot of coaches do that, to actually start to identify, well, when did you notice the change? And then it could be attributed to a certain event. It could be completely random, and it's just something, maybe at night there's something at 3 o'clock in the morning that's obviously disturbing my sleep. Maybe it's a particular noise, it might be a cat that's wandering around, and that's maybe just what's waking me up at 3 o'clock, and it's got its little routine.
It's knocking at the window, moving on. Or it could be that you're waking up with some ache or discomfort, or your body's just saying, oh, yes, I've had enough now of this bed. And yes, it could be the physical bed or the pillow that's causing the problem.
And a lot of people don't think about their bed, do they?
No. And there's, you know, you spend quite a lot of time of your life in bed.
You do.
So lots to think about when you're searching for one. And the purpose of the bed is a good support will hold the spine naturally.
Yes.
And bad support will not. So whenever you're shopping for a bed, make sure you've got somebody with you who's not the salesperson, who can look at you in bed to see how that bed is supporting you, whether that's good or bad. And there are pictures, again, Sleep Council, lots of useful downloadable information there, and they all give you diagrams about what is good support and what's bad support. The important thing with everything is trying before you buy, and spend a good 10 minutes plus on each bed to find out whether that suits you or not. And you're looking at the fillings, you're looking at the coverings, looking at the size. Good tip here, the bed should be 4 to 6 inches, that's 10 to 15 centimetres, longer than the tallest person who will use that bed. It's not something people think about. They think about, do I need a single or a double or a queen or a king? But it's the length can be very important.
And can you get longer beds? I thought they were all a standard length then.
You can get longer beds, but sometimes you can add bits on. So some people will put a piece of furniture, like a trunk or something, at the bottom of the bed. If it's at the right height, then you'll get a bit of length, and get a topper for the bed that gives you that padding.
Yes. I've heard of it. And of course, Lendlis, I know that lovely Jules Serkin would be shouting at the radio now, probably saying, don't forget, Lendlis do great beds. And it is actually being able to talk to somebody about all the differences.
Yeah. When I bought my last bed, I went to about 6 different shops. And you'll get the sales push. You'll get the shops that ignore you as you're wandering around. And then you'll get the ones that are knowledgeable. Sorry, guys, there's nothing wrong with going to a shop, getting a really, really knowledgeable sales rep, finding the perfect bed, and then shopping elsewhere for value for money.
If they can't do it.
Because it's always put value and quality over price. And price for the same object will vary between suppliers and shops. So always shop around. Right support and comfort is critical, and it will be, again, different for different people. Some people love and swear by memory foam. Other people really don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
So just because it's right for somebody and they've pushed it and they've told you to go and get one, try it out first.
I did try it. You'll be pleased. That's
brilliant. So a lot of the top quality and higher cost products, they will actually now try before you buy by lending it to you. You can either have it for 30 days or 60 days, depending on the product. Sometimes you need to pay up front and they'll give you a refund, or they'll want you to get a different product from their range. Other times it's you try it for a month.
Do you have to sleep then with the plastic on it? Because if you're going to give it back...
There will be small print, you know, if you damaged it anyway.
A few more years yet for me, sleeping on a plastic mattress.
But this happened with... a named brand of memory foam. They found that they got good sales early on, then sales really, really dropped off. So then they started to do the try before you buy, and you could have it for, I think it was 30 days or 60 days.
Well, that's good.
But yes, there's always going to be fine print as to what the guarantee for that loan period is and whether you're liable for anything at the end. But that's a good thing to have a think about.
Pillows, presumably.
Pillows.
As I know that I took quite a few years to then realise I don't need two pillows.
No.
I had just this, I think, because I'd just grown up and that's what mum, we all had, two pillows on our bed. But actually I realised that with my neck, it wasn't working.
Some people don't need a pillow at all. Some people prefer one. Some people prefer two. Some people would have either material or feather filled, which is more malleable, or a memory foam, or a triangle, or a sculpted. Lots of different varieties. The position of the pillow depends on how you're sleeping. If you're sleeping on your back, then the pillow is directly under your head and neck.
Yeah.
If you're sleeping on your side, then the pillow should be between your back and the edge of the bed, because you're rolling to one side. So you don't want to roll off the pillow.
Okay.
But again, it's the height that works for you, because our shoulders, our backs, our necks, our heads are all different sizes.
I'm just conscious of my neck, so I'm going to have to move my microphone down.
And you're
it's
stretching.
Going to go, there we are. Because I'm conscious I'm like this, looking up at the sky, so I need to make sure my neck is in nice alignment. But I toss and turn a lot.
Yes.
So do I need a pillow for each position?
No, not necessarily. If you're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're not on the pillow at that point, that might be an indicator.
And that's sort of in the corner of the bedroom somewhere.
And that might be something that you jot down. You wake up, it's 3 o'clock again. Oh, no. Right. Yes. What have I noticed about how I've woken up? Mm. How am I lying?
Mm.
Where's the pillow? Where's the duvet? Do I use sheets? Do I use duvet? Am I too hot? Am I too cold? Mm. That might be worth jotting down very quickly. The other thing I find with a lot of clients is if they're sharing a bed, you getting the environment right for both of you can it's be difficult. Very tricky.
It is, actually. Yeah, I can agree. Yeah.
So you can now buy beds that have split mattress. You might have a joint topper, but you might be able to angle different parts of the bed.
And I do, aware yes. You have that's one of those funny matches. Enough. We've been talking, haven't we, Jan? Yeah. And listeners, you may or may not know that with my husband's ailments, let's say, and the mobility. So we have that split bed now. And they, interestingly, did come to our house with a single bed, but at least they brought it in the house for my husband to try with length and size. And then they also asked our weight.
Yeah.
Which I lied about. No, I didn't. actually said, so what do you think I weigh? But he's obviously interested in our weight, I presume, for the mattress. But also, as I say, we've got all this movement going on for him to lift his legs and knees and back. But for me, I've noticed that actually I'm having more backache now since changing that to that bed. But obviously it was built for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might have to go and sleep with the dog, I think.
Well, before you get that radical step, have a think about maybe toppers. Have a think about what's in the material of the bed. What can you add to that? What can you take away from it, even?
Cardboard plank.
Well, that's what's in it, do you think? No, well, that's what you need to put in.
I think it's too soft.
Too soft for you. Okay.
I think it's too... Because I'm sure it's softer than, as I say, the bed. Right. I'm quite a hard mattress. Yeah. I do quite like
it. So what you need to do is lie down in it and get your husband to look at you from the side. Check your spine position. And if your spine is curving, then it is too soft for you. You're not getting the support that you need.
Yeah.
And then you might want to think about a single topper.
To maybe bring that...
To bring that up again.
Yeah. But it is fascinating when you start realising about the support. And, of course, if your body's uncomfortable, it's not going to relax. It's not going to switch off. So then there's that mind and body connection.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's nothing to do with worries or that you can't sleep or anything. It's just purely that actually we're looking at what are you sleeping either on or in. But also, as we said earlier, the bedroom as well, the actual environment that you're around. And I know we talked briefly just then, or just before the breaks, about the dark room. But also it's whether you have lighting outside, depending on where you live. Do you have a street lamp just right outside your window? Do you have, I know from hotel rooms, you know, do you have neon lights flashing at night? Which again, there's that element of it is going to disturb you. Even when your eyes are closed, you're going to have that disturbance going on. So we are fast running out of time. So I appreciate that we could go on for hours and some of our listeners will be like, oh, but you didn't talk about this and we didn't talk about that. So please do either keep tweeting or use our Facebook page to interact with us off air, because we do interact and we follow up, and we also post, we'll post those links from those various research sites that we found. But I know we also want to make sure before we disappear, there's a few events that we want to just make sure that you are aware of, listener out there, what's going on in the world of health and well-being or charity work. Don't forget, we do really encourage any of your charities, anything that's going on that you're trying to fundraise or trying to get more people to come along to the event or support the event, please do let us know, because we're more than willing to give them a shout out. Again, anything that's linked with our health and our well-being, to value our health, then we are up there for you to you know, use your show, Who Cares Wins, and come and talk to us about that. So some events we've got. I know, Sue, we've got something very urgent this week, haven't we? Just a quick reminder. And the lovely Mary Daly, I heard on Business Bunker earlier last Tuesday. She was giving an update on her fundraising events for the MS Society. But is it Thursday?
Yes, it is Thursday. It's the corporate networking event Thursday. It starts at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And it's at the Cheeseman Pavilion. And I think, it says join us for drinks and canapés. And there will be
Mary's going to do a speech. There'll be a few speeches as well.
So I think one of them, event. From my memory, if any of you listeners want to listen back to the Kent Business Bunker radio show that was on last Tuesday, Mary was actually on the show, and she actually gave a link about the update. I think it's about 830,000 they've got already in the bank.
Fantastic.
But I think she's speaking. Somebody from the Channel Chamber, I think, is speaking as well. So this sounds like it's going to be a good night. It's a shame I can't be there. But yes, it's fantastic, Mary. She's just an absolutely awesome lady. And if we can help in any way to sponsor that.
And there's also the fete on the 22nd, which is on the Saturday. That's at the rugby ground where the centre is.
In Canterbury,
In Canterbury. If you want to find out the details, it's probably best to go and get in touch with the MS Centre in Canterbury, because they'll give you the details of when it's on.
Fantastic. So that's the website is it the M? No, let me get this right. The MS.
No, it's the TC? Kent.
Oh, Kent.
Kent MSTC. And the TC is Therapy Centre.
Therapycentre.org.
.org.
.uk. And you'll find all the information, or at least contact numbers. And I believe Mary Daly is going to be back on the Twitter land, so she'll be having a bit more of a presence on Twitter again as well. I have one. I've got July. Have you got anything else in June?
Yes, got a couple in June. Firstly, this week, 17th to 22nd, the London Arts in Health Forum are running a Creativity Ooh. And Wellbeing Week. Apparently, there's a growing body of evidence indicating a profound effect engagement in the arts and creativity can have on our health and well-being. So lots of events around London. Their website is www.creativityandwellbeing, that's all one word, .org.uk. So that runs all this week.
Wow.
And actually running for most of the summer, all the way around the country, Dolphin Computer Access. They're a supplier of software solutions for people with visual impairments.
Oh, wow.
Dolphin are hosting or exhibiting at free events around the UK. So lots of opportunity to try out new products, find out what might help you if you have a visual impairment or know somebody who has. You can contact Dolphin on 01905 754 577 for an event near you.
Fantastic. That sounds really interesting. When's the date again?
That's all year.
It's
March onwards,
right.
And they're going all the way around the country. Must admit, I couldn't find anything particularly in Kent.
Oh, that's
but
a shame.
But have a look, because they were adding new dates all the time.
Yeah.
And the more demand they get, the more dates they're adding. So
Fantastic.
Worth having a look.
And then, of course, 23rd of June. So we've got 22nd is the Fete, and also it's the Manston Air Show. But, of course, 23rd of June is Divas
on Wheels.
On Wheels.
For Pilgrim's Hospice. So if you want to cycle, or if you want to sponsor, Pilgrims are your people to contact.
Indeed. And I know Wendy, talking to her briefly, she's also got a communications skills course, or a communication skills type course, because they're really promoting their wonderful training venue that they have at Pilgrims, which again, the money and the support goes into Pilgrims Hospice, so it's all interlinked. But it's a great venue to use for meeting rooms, if you've got any other training you want to hold there, or any particular events. So yes, check out there. I don't know what the date was. I apologise, didn't bring my bit of paper with me today. Those of you that have listened to some of our older shows, you'll remember the dear, gorgeous, wonderfully beautiful voice. I've not seen her yet, but Wendy Watson. And Sue, you've met her, haven't you?
Yes.
Quite a few times now. But the lovely Wendy Watson, if you want to actually go and experience Wendy's treatments, she is going to be at the Be Gorgeous Pamper and Shopping event, which is at the G Casino over in Thanet, my neck of the woods. Rah, rah, let's hear it for Thanet.
Is that Westwood Cross?
That's the Westwood Cross.
Bit of retail therapy beforehand.
Well, yes, you could. Yes, you could pop into Health and Wellbeing. There's Holland and Barrett.
Yes.
So you can get all your bits and pieces there. I suppose you could have a coffee if you wanted. I'll let you off just the one. You'll probably find me in there, actually. So Wednesday, the 10th of July, and it's 7 p.m. through to 10 p.m. So it is an evening event, so it might help you sleep after you've been pampered. So Be Gorgeous Pamper and Shopping event. Last time they had this event, they had excess of 600 people. That's amazing.
That's very good.
All being pampered. That's nice. Fantastic. There is also a charity raffle on the night as well, in aid of Marie Curie Cancer Care Charity. So you'll be able to contribute to that if you went along. But the lovely Wendy Watson, she's going to be there amongst other stallholders, and she's offering both reflexology. So if you remember hearing about reflexology on our show, then you can go and experience a little taster with that with Wendy, who is fabulous. Sue is holding her hand up.
Can I also say
quickly
that reflexology helps for sleep?
Yeah, it does. It does. It really, because it obviously connects with all the areas of the body. And she's also doing something I'm fascinated about. She may be doing, if she gets time, some foot readings, which is just interesting.
So it's a palm reading for the feet.
So instead of a palm, it's a soul read. How fabulous. So yes, go along, contact Hayley Chipperfield, and her number is 01843 579 999, and we'll put all those informations and websites on our Facebook page so you can follow up with us after the show. Well, it's been great. Thank you very much. Lovely to see you again, Sue. Great to have you back here. We will be next week here again, possibly with a guest. We're trying to work out if we can get them down here. We're encouraging them. So I'm going to keep it as a treat and a surprise as to who it might be. Otherwise, definitely the three of us will be here. It's been great. We'll see you all next week.
Have a good sleep.
Yeah. Night, night.